Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Simpoga. This evening we'll talk about the recent U.S. elections and lessons for Africa. And with us tonight is my colleague, Vincent Macquarie, host of Africa 54. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Douglas, always a delight to be here.
Thank you very much. We also have Ayatunde Balogun. He's an anchor and reporter at Channels TV in Lagos, Nigeria. Ayatunde is here in Washington, D.C. to cover the U.S. elections. Ayatunde, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here as well.
You're very much welcome. We also have regular panelist Suleiman Mugula. He's an independent political analyst. He's joining us as usual from Durban, South Africa. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas and the panelists. Thank you for inviting me.
You're very much welcome. Gentlemen, the election is over, Vincent. Mm-hmm. And you see that in a few minutes, the president will be meeting the president-elect.
They're meeting.
Right.
And this is very significant, I think, for all those watching, especially across the continent of Africa. Mm. It is always just amazing how the United States stays the same in so many respects in terms of, you know, the structures are in place. There's going to be stability and peace. I mean, there will be some upheaval in some respects in terms of policy changes. Mm. But nobody was concerned about the country turning into, you know,
mayhem
or anything like that. The two leaders are meeting now to talk about transition, which has to be done in a peaceful and orderly manner because of respect for the Constitution and the nation, regardless of what this two men think about each other, regardless of what the political parties think and feel about each other. At the end of the day, it's all about the United States, all about the citizens of this nation and the future of this nation. So that is phenomenal, and I think that is one thing that, despite of everything, anybody watching, anybody listening has to really observe and in amazement acknowledge that still this country remains the greatest democracy in the world.
Yes, Ayatunde, since you've been here about a couple of weeks.
First
of all, what struck you? What came up for you in this election compared to what happens in Africa?
Wow, what struck me, I would say, perhaps is the calmness, really, in the events leading to the election. I'm talking about the American voters now, in spite of the campaigns, which was quite feisty, I must admit. And and the early voting periods leading up to the actual voting on November the 8th, I mean, you know, both supporters of both candidates, rather, who went out to the polls, you know, they really showed a good sense of decorum, you know, that, you know, people are going out to cast their ballot, you know, in a very peaceful manner. The process for me was top-notch, fantastic, even in the face of all the pressures, you know, the fear of the unknown, if you like, you know, from the American public who went out to perform their civic duties. You know, people just wanted to just get on with the process, you know, and it went quite well. And compared to Africa, where I hate to say it, but, you know, most of the time it's always a case of a tense atmosphere, you know. You have security men all over the place, you know, you just feel like we're in a war zone, you know, and I take Nigeria as an example. You know, we've had a couple of elections in the past, and you just need to see the atmosphere. It's pretty tense, know. But I commend the American public because they've shown again, you know, like they've done in recent years and even for many years, one of the oldest democracies in the world, that you can have a peaceful process, an election process, you know, without having to worry about you know, what happens before, during and after, you know. It's a big test of maturity, and, you know, I give it to the American public.
Yes, Suleiman, we gather Africa was keenly following this election. I was following on the social media. People woke up either very early, or some didn't even go to bed, awaiting the results of this election. What's the take from down there in South Africa? How did the people see this election and compare it to the years over there?
Of course, when America catches a cold, everybody in the world sneezes. So whenever you have an election in America, it is of a great excitement because it is the most powerful country on this Mother Earth. So even in South Africa, people were excited. They were following what was going on. So the results, the shock also has permeated even to us in South Africa. But to add on, before I go to that one, to add on a little bit to what my colleagues have said, is the realization, the difference between America and our continent is the appreciation, as far as America is concerned, of the fact that the nation does not belong to an individual. The nation America belongs to the citizens of America, unlike for us on the continent, where politicians believe that once they have got power, the country belongs to them. In America, what we have seen and what we continue seeing on whenever there is a cycle of an election is the emphasis that the nation belongs to the people, and those who lead at the pleasure of the people. They have got the right to give you the right to lead the country if they wish, and if they don't, you have to accept their decision. So that was also beautiful to watch, as far as I'm concerned.
I see. Vincent, this election, similar to the 2008 election of Barack Obama, although in different ways, yeah, has had a lot of interest in Africa. Mm-hmm. Why do you think Africa was so concerned about this particular election? Because some of the people I've talked to sort of sense a different focus on Africa.
Yeah.
They compared the two candidates
yeah,
and felt...
I think this was a global phenomenon. Obama took the world by storm for being different than a typical American presidential candidate, and it mesmerized the whole world. In fact, everybody everywhere wanted to get a piece of Obama. They wanted to listen to Obama. They wanted to see Obama. It was phenomenal. It was different. It was fresh. It was something that had never been seen. People thought it's unbelievable. Nobody thought that a person of that color, a person of that origin, whose father is directly from Africa, from Kenya, could emerge and become a possible president of this country. Now, some interesting similarity in terms of the father that also accompanied the president-elect now, Donald Trump. He is an untraditional person who wasn't a professional politician. He's a business from an outside kind of environment, coming into a game that people have been playing for a long time. He was dismissed from the beginning by even a party that he wanted to stand on. He ran on that party's ticket, but they never, a great number of those people didn't even want him. He came from television. He's a celebrity. He's a real he's an entertainer. He's not only a businessman, but an entertainer, a reality TV person. And so it was different. Also, in that respect, it captured the attention and imagination of the people across the world because of his showmanship, but also that disbelief. It's like, is it even possible for a person like Donald Trump to dream of becoming the president of the United States? And people were interested, but unlike Obama, they just were looking at him with disbelief. It's like, it's not serious. This is a joke. And then they listen to him, listen to his threats and his rhetoric and all that. And the more they listen to him, the more they just couldn't believe. And for many, I think, across Africa, they were looking at this as almost like showbiz. And as he became increasingly, it became increasingly apparent he could possibly become a president, trepidation. People were like, what will the world look like with someone like this one? And so here we are today, still in that state of confusion for most people across Africa. Who is this guy? Where is he taking America? And what is this going to mean for the continent of Africa?
Ayatunde, somebody maybe nearer to Trump in African politics was the late Abiola.
Yeah.
Who was
Bashar al-Mashud Abiola.
Yeah, who was a very wealthy fella, who didn't come from the traditional political sense.
Certainly not.
But who people believe actually won the election.
Exactly. But June the 12th, 1993, yeah, that date
typical,
will remain
in typical African form, it cost him his life, some people say.
Sadly, it did. And, of course, that actually spurred you know, the revolution, if you like, you know, from political activists, you know, in all those years leading up to 1999, when the country actually got liberated, as it were, from the military, you know, to keep pushing for the democratic freedom that the country really craved. Because at that point, Nigeria was already a pariah state. I mean, hardly would any country want to have anything to do with Nigeria, you know, even the United States, you know, it was that bad. But, you know, looking at Donald Trump, and I shared all the thoughts of Vincent, and I mean, it was just fantastic. You know, someone who is not a politician, he's a businessman, like he rightly said, but he's coming out, you know, to say, look, you don't have to join the bandwagon. I mean, you can just be yourself, be unique, you know. The most important thing is, what can I offer? Because he's an American, you know, he makes us to believe that he clearly loves, you know, his country, the United States. So what can I offer? And, you know, people, well, sad to say, politicians, sometimes we expect so much from them, you know. I mean, not only in the United States, it's all around the world, but most of the time people, you know, just feel we don't get anything concrete from them. You know, they make promises and they don't fulfill it. But for Donald Trump, it was just something different, you know. I mean, he's not part of them, so let's see what he can do, you know. And he, you know, he's always talking about what they want to hear. That's the key thing for me, and I think that was really what made the big difference. I mean, if MK Abiola had that opportunity, who knows?
Who knows? Suleiman, from your vantage point over there, are people mesmerized or intrigued by Trump's success and becoming president-elect of this country?
It is unbelievable. He was unorthodox. Everything about him was new. Nobody could believe. He is among the few politicians, as my brothers have said, who is not coming from the establishment. So everybody did not give him a chance, and everybody was looking for a landslide, a defeat. In Africa, there are rumors that he talked about removing dictators in Africa. So there is some excitement in some countries. I've heard, for example, in Zimbabwe and in Uganda, people are excited. I think one even went out of his way to question the president of Uganda about what he would do, because Donald Trump had talked of removing all the dictators should he get into power. So there is some excitement in some countries. They think that maybe with Donald Trump there might be movement, because the African continent, just like the rural America, those who have voted for him, they are also a forgotten constituency. The establishment has been dealing with elites, whereas the countries are rotting. The establishment, from Bush, from Clinton, we have had dictators all throughout. Nobody has touched them. They have red carpets have been rolled to them all along. As my brother have said, Masud Abiola lost election. Ethiopia in 2005, they lost election. Morgan Tsvangirai in Zimbabwe, in Uganda, we have had elections lost year after year. And even as we talk now, we have got three governments which are contested in Gabon, in Uganda, in Zanzibar. So people feel America as the great. Yes, it should not change. The government is not there to change governments for them. But it should be proactive. It should not roll out red carpets for these dictators and encourage them to continue. It should not continue to encourage them to oppress its own people. So there is some excitement in Africa. Many of them are tired about the double standard of Washington. That is why I feel even some quarters in South Africa here, they feel it is because of those double standards that South Africa lost it and was forced even to go out of the ICC, because they feel the country, the establishment in Washington, is having a lot of double standards.
I see. Well, for those just joining us, you are listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we are coming to you live from VOA studios here in Washington. And tonight we are discussing lessons for Africa from the U.S. elections. Our panelists are my colleague, Vincent Macquarie, host of VOA Africa 54, Ayatunde Balogun of Channels TV in Lagos, Nigeria, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst in South Africa. And I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Studio 9. Now, gentlemen, let's expand more on what Suleiman has just said. Because from what I hear from across the continent,
there
was this belief that the so-called establishment, would not have an effect or a change in Africa. As he mentioned, most African dictators are very dear to the U.S. They are their darlings. They come here. They do all their, and there's a perception among African people that maybe the establishment in America doesn't care about with the people, so long as they have these dictators, they can keep in power for the sake of stability. Was that an attraction to Trump of some kind?
Yeah. First, let me say this. I think that was an empty rumor. I don't remember that Trump specifically said he's going to remove any dictator from anywhere, and especially from Africa. But I have to say, I really sympathize many times with our brothers and sisters on the continent. They get so emotionally invested in the United States politics. They raise their hopes so high on what an American president, what an American government is going to do for them. And that, for that reason, for years and years, you get very disappointed. And it's because many have not come to the realization that the United States first and foremost puts its interest first. Africa's interest, the interest of Africans, are not a priority to Americans. They're not a priority to the United States, to the president who comes in power. That is why during the campaign, the real issues are domestic issues. They're talking about how to create jobs for Americans, how to ensure the security for Americans. And when it comes to the foreign policy, it is a mention during the campaign. It's not the most important issue. Mm-hmm. In fact, presidents are not elected on a strong foreign policy platform. That is almost secondary. But when you talk about foreign policy and you talk about the bigger issues like the war in the Middle East, why? Because that drains billions of dollars from the United States. People are concerned about their children being in the military, and of course concerned about security, because we know that some of those targeted in the Middle East are seen and perceived, and rightfully so, as enemies of the United States and the United States interests. Africa as a continent is at the very bottom of the of that page, of the list of priorities. In fact, it is on the other page somewhere, second, third, fourth page.
I see.
And when it comes to the individual countries, remember again, Africa is a continent, and many people don't realize that the U.S. is looking at the continent and many times go to the very specific regions.
Yeah.
It's looking at what are the interests for the U.S. there. If stability in a particular region helps the U.S. to have its military forces in that region, that is the interest they have. So if Ethiopia and Eritrea are going to make it possible for them to maintain a certain presence in that region, that is a U.S. interest. Now, what happens internally, what happens in Uganda and Kenya and Tanzania and other places, is not extremely important if it does not threaten the U.S. interest. And unfortunately, this is what Africans have to learn. And that's why we got to find our own solutions and find a way of creating our own systems that help us function as nations and as a continent.
Further to his point, talk about African expectations in change of government in the U.S. It seems some of them actually have told me American governments don't change. They just remove one person, another comes, everything smoothly carries on, and...
I think so. Douglas. I mean, you know, America, for the country that it is, you know, just like Vincent said a while ago, it's very much about America. Any American president that comes to power is always thinking about the American people, America as a nation. So, you know, Africa or whatever continent, in fact, that is, you have to take a back seat, because if you don't solve the problems in America, the United States, as an American president, you're going to get the backlash. I mean, people are going to come after you like, hey, what are you doing? So, you know, it's always been like that. You have some presidents, you know, time and again coming and making, you know, these promises and statements that, of course, Africa or some parts of Africa, you are very key, you are very vital to our interest and all whatnot. But at the end of the day, it still has to be America for the American president. That comes first, and I'm afraid that it's not going to change.
Suleiman, there's one thing that interests some analysts, some observers. Why are those African dictators more endeared to America? I mean, there seems to be some attraction. We can go back to the late Mobutu Sese Seko. He was a regular visitor in the White House. He was one of the notorious dictators on the continent. He's mentioned, I don't have to mention names anyway. They all seem to know how to play their PR.
You can mention the ones who are dead. They won't hurt you.
But in Africa, we have respect for the dead as well.
I know, that's the problem.
So, that's it.
Of course, America is very particular with those so-called allies who fit within their interests. And dictators are very opportunistic. They are very clever. They know where to touch. They know the best buttons to touch. So they fit into the rhetoric in the establishment. That is why some people in Africa are so excited because of the unorthodox behavior of Trump. They feel that maybe there will be a change from that, from the traditional way of dealing with them. Maybe he will this time realize that some of the problems that the countries, the establishment has faced, issues like migration, issues like Brexit, one of the causes is migration. And migration, the cause is not because people are not running in Africa because Africa is so poor. People are running out of Africa because Africa has been impoverished by selfish leaders. So to a certain extent, maybe if there is a change in America, if there is a change in the thinking, and people stop, the American government stop bankrolling these dictators because they are their allies in the war against terror, their allies in their interests where they are, they can implement policies which they have recommended and they think they are going the correct direction, they are able to buy lobbies who can be able to tell them the stories which are positive to these particular dictators, and then they are able to convince the America. Maybe with Donald, we have a hope that they will realize that Africa needs to be given the chance to lead itself. Africa needs to be given, the citizens of Africa need to exploit their potential. Mm-hmm. If there was no change in America, Barack Obama would not have come. So we need to see the leaders being involved in Africa. Maybe if Mashuda Bure had been given chance, it would have been different. Maybe if Atiku Abubakar had been given chance. Maybe if Oral Otuna had been given a chance. Maybe if Robert Ouko had been a chance. Maybe if Bemba had been given chance. These countries maybe might have been better, other than being with the same beer for years and years, the same Gambia, the same man. Years and years, we need to have a change. That is why we are getting excited.
I see.
I just wanted to jump in there. First, I think if any change will come because of, say, a president, Trump, it might be change that Africans have to realize they have to make. Because I don't, from my, you know, listening, my assessment of what President-elect Trump has been saying on the campaign trail. I don't think first it looked like Africa was something that is within his radar.
How about if he distanced himself from these guys?
That is what I want to say. Mm. When it comes to issues like immigration, instability in Africa, I think I'm seeing him being of the mindset that we're going to secure our borders. Mm-hmm. Fix your own problems. We are not going to allow anybody to come in here because you're killing each other. Figure out how to maintain your peace and how to keep your people within your borders. Mm. Remember when he talks about Mexico? He's not talking about, for example, how he can help Mexico so that Mexicans don't come here. He's saying, I'm going to build a wall so nobody comes into this country. In other words, he's saying, your problems are your problems. They're not my problems. You just fix them. And that is, I think, what might happen with Africa, that kind of a approach where he's saying, fix your problems. Mm. It's not our problem, but we will secure our borders. We'll make it harder for some people to come into this country, and it's up to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That may be, it may awaken those guys there. If you tell them, don't mess, stay there, maybe it would make a change, briefly.
Probably. It's possible that it makes a change. But, of course, you know, these are just thoughts. You know, we really can't go into the mind of Donald Trump per se.
But you see, there's one example, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Like in the 1990s, one American leader described a group of five dictators as the new breed. And I'll mention them. We mentioned Afwerki in Eritrea. I mentioned Zanawi in Ethiopia, Kagame, Kabila, and Museveni.
Hey, remember, but then they fooled everybody. It's not that it was wrong to mention them. They were the new kids on the block. I remember I personally thought they were the change that Africa had been waiting for. Mm. All that bunch of those guys.
Yeah.
We all thought so.
All of them are still there, though, apart from Zenawi. Yeah. So, Suleiman, the last 1 minute. What's your take? Do you think something could happen by default? But if the man says, don't bother coming here, if you mess yourselves up, could that somehow awaken the people there?
Whatever action it takes, what is important as far as Africans are concerned is that they should not be bankrolled. He has just given jet fighters to Museveni of Uganda. This is a man who has been in power by force for 30 years. If they are going to give us money for HIV, malaria, or whatever sickness, they should be able to follow it up. Not just to throw it and then it is maladministered, it is stolen, and they don't care. So what we want is accountability. Let them... We are not asking Donald to come and remove a president, but they should not bankroll them. They should not give them moral support, whereas America is claiming to be the defenders of human rights when these people are abusing human rights. So what Africa is calling for is to allow the people to make change in Africa. If you arm them, people won't be able. If they are killed and they are again welcome to Washington, people, let there be one standard. If Bashir is bad, let Bashir be bad, let Mugabe be bad. At the same time, let Museveni be bad, let the one in Burundi be bad, and everybody be bad. All the sanctions should be held to all the people, not to pick and choose.
I see. Last word, 30 seconds.
Well, for me, I think Nigeria, which is one of the major powerhouses in Africa, well, for many, it's still early days to really decide if the relations with the American people or the American government under Trump will be favorable or not. But whatever it is, I mean, you know, a precedent has been set. Donald Trump is there. We all have to come to terms with it. And let's clean up our own house, you know, and whatever we present to the American government under Donald Trump, and we'll see how it all pans out.
Final thoughts?
And for me, a big lesson for Africa, once again, about democracy. Shame on African leaders who never look at the American system and learn that you can respect institutions, you can respect democracy, and anybody can become president and still be accorded full respect and all the opportunities. Shame on them for not learning the positive things from America.
Well, gentlemen, that's all the time we have. And our president-elect has about 70 days before inauguration. So Africa maybe could pick a few lessons. Well, that wraps up this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, my colleague Vincent Macori, host of Africa 54, Ayatunde Balogun, anchor reporter at Channels TV in Lagos, Nigeria, and Suleiman Mugula, a South African-based independent political analyst. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Our producer, as always, has been Jackson Mvunganyi, and our engineer tonight was Jonah Cummings. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any or part of this program, you can still access it by going to our main website at www.voanews.com, click on Programs, and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@voanews.com. Thanks very much for tuning in tonight, and until next week, I'm your host Douglas Impuga in Washington, wishing you all the best.